Welcome to Getting Real with Rob, with your host, Rob Namfell. Join Rob as he uncovers the deeper truths about the most important real estate issues in the Charlotte region. Listen as he interviews key industry leaders, policymakers, and influential change agents. He'll ask the hard questions, listen to real answers, and look at issues from a more human perspective. Now, let's get real with Rob.
Hello, and welcome to Getting Real with Rob. Today we have special guest Anne-Marie DeCatzi, the CEO of the Canopy Realtor Association. Welcome, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Rob.
How are you today?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Well, there's a couple things we'd like to accomplish today. First, we'd like to learn a little bit about you, a little bit about your history and your leadership style. Also, learn a little about the organizational structure between the local Canopy Association, the state and federal or NAR, National Association of Realtors, as they're known. There's been some information in the news recently about some lawsuits. So I'll just touch on that briefly and then talk about the relationship between Canopy and Rebic. I know that you've got a history with both organizations, so we'd like to cover that as well. But we always like to start with the lightning round. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First question, what are a couple of your pet peeves?
Well, one for sure is never call me Anne. And if you do, I know you don't know me.
I've so, never done that for the record.
Nails on a chalkboard for me. And probably the other one is it really bugs me when people don't put a date on a document.
Okay. All right. I've done that. I know that I've done that. So I'll never make that mistake again. Second question, what is your favorite exotic food?
Well, I'm probably the pickiest eater in the universe, so I'm not sure I really have an exotic food, but I guess this new way of preparing Brussels sprouts that restaurants seem to be doing would be my favorite.
Lots of butter?
And bacon.
Who doesn't like bacon?
Exactly.
All right. What parts of the world are you anxious to visit and why?
Well, anxious is an interesting word. I would actually love to go to Russia again someday because my daughter is adopted from there, but I would not go over there under the current and political environment. So that makes me very anxious. But otherwise, I definitely want to see more parts of Europe.
Okay. Great. What parts have you been to that you enjoyed?
So I've been to Ireland twice.
Okay.
And I've been to England and I have been to Asia. But my preference, and I've been to Czechoslovakia, okay. So I'd like to just see more of Western and Eastern Europe.
Okay, great. Tell us about your purse. My mother told me actually never to ask a woman about her purse, but I've been given this question, so we're going to ask it. Is it messy or neat?
It's actually very neat.
Is it?
And I actually have won contests like at bridal parties for having so many things in my purse that I check everybody's lists and have won the party.
So you're a ringer for bridal parties.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Good to know. Listeners, please make note. And then the last one, is there a talent that you possess that others are not aware of?
I don't know that it's a talent that others aren't aware of, but I think I'm fortunate in that I can be super laser focused if I have to be. And then I can step back and kind of look at the big picture and kind of see what's coming on the horizon and get us ready for what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. Which makes you an effective leader. All right. Moving on to the main questions. How did you get started in the business? What's your background and what events have transpired sort of through that process to get us to this point? Now, that's a big question. We can go back to pieces of that, but.
Well, I moved to Charlotte in 1995 to marry my ex-husband. Okay. So it was a good and a bad move, but ultimately good. And I fell into the only local lobbying job at the time, which was RIBIC, the Real Estate and Building Industry Coalition.
It's a fantastic group.
It is. And I was moving from D.C. where I had been a lobbyist. And because obviously Charlotte's not Raleigh, there weren't too many lobbying jobs. But I was fortunate to meet Mr. Croslin and Mr. Tate early on. They both encouraged me to pursue RIBIC. And, you know, they both were very amazing men. And I'm glad I got to know them early in my career. So I did work at Ribic, but I didn't run Ribic by myself. I ran it as deputy executive director under Mark Kramer. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 6 years and just kind of got burnt out on, I would say, the environmental politics. Mm-hmm. And Tim Minton, who is the current executive director of the home builders, state home builders, had been the CEO of what was then Charlotte Regional Realtor Association. So he offered me a job as in-house counsel, which I thought was going to be a great, quiet, cush job in a corner, reviewing contracts, bylaws. And within 4 months, he came to me and asked me if I wanted his job because he was moving back to Raleigh. And I said, well, let me think about it because I hadn't really thought about it. So just kind of was fortunate that because of my role at Ribic, I had been attending Realtor Association board meetings and Home Builder Association board meetings, but the realtor leadership knew who I was. So they ended up hiring me without doing a search. So they took a huge chance on me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up starting that role in February of 2001.
Okay.
So, sometimes it's good when you're young and you don't really know what you're doing. And there were several of us on staff that way. And we've kind of just all grown up together here. But I'm very proud of the fact that we've got a lot of staff longevity and we've kept this organization kind of at the forefront of the industry.
You have. And it's not just one organization you run effectively. There's two others. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we actually have three separate entities here. The Realtor Association is the what we say, the 501c6 nonprofit professional trade association. And it's a little frustrating when people say, I don't know what the Realtor Association is or does. And all I have to say is, well, you know what the Bar Association is for attorneys. Well, mm-hmm. that's what it is for realtors. Realtors are professionals. So this is your professional trade association. The Realtor Association actually is the parent entity of a 501c3 foundation, which we are extremely proud of. It is the heart of our organization and is really responsible for a lot of community outreach and impact here in our Charlotte and in Haywood and Iredell. And then we also happen to be the parent entity of a for-profit subsidiary called Canopy Multiple Listing Service.
Okay.
So we also have Canopy Real Estate Institute. It is technically not a separate corporation, but we run it as if it is.
Okay. And for the foundation, there's a big event coming up in April.
There is. Correct? There is. Realtors Care Day.
Okay. And that's how many years has that been now? It's, gosh, dozen. I think it's about a dozen years or
so. At least.
Yeah. 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 And that's a pretty huge event. Okay. What about so in terms of the association side of things, I know there's effectively three levels, local, which is Canopy, state, and NAR. Can you talk a little bit how that relationship works?
Sure. So when somebody goes through pre-licensing and gets their license, they're not automatically a realtor. You are licensed by the state of where you practice. So the North Carolina Real Estate Commission issues licenses. In order to become a professional, to be a realtor, you have to join the local realtor association. So when you join, there's in a sense, three-way agreement. It's actually in the National Association of Realtors Constitution that automatically when you join at the local level, you become a member of the state association and the national association. So we end up collecting the dues of the local and the state and the national, and then we remit to state and national their portion of the dues. But automatically, and really what it means to be a realtor is you are a member of the National Association of Realtors. So you receive benefits from all three entities, local, state, and national.
Okay. Okay. So in your role as from your professional background, there are a number of awards that you've received in the multiple years that you've been involved in this business. What would you say the maybe one or two that you're the most proud of and why?
Well, probably the one I'm most proud of is the Most Admired CEO Award that the Business Journal gives. And that largely is because I was nominated for that by the staff here. So to me, that says that the staff have a lot of appreciation for who I am and how I run the organization that they would put my name forward like that. So I'm actually have received that twice. And then, you know, I receive or, you know, a lot of recognition, but it is largely because of the work that everybody here at this organization does. It's not just what I do. Mm-hmm. And the other recent award I got was from RIS Media, and that recognized all we have done to promote diversity, equity, inclusion, because we were well down the road to promoting diversity long before it became the thing to do. I mean, we really started back in the mid-2000s. So I think we are light years ahead of other organizations that are now kind of scrambling to have diversity programs, but it is just ingrained in our culture. And I'm really, really proud of that. So getting that award meant a lot to me.
Okay, great. There's been some recent news on the national level of some things going on. There was an announcement just in the last couple of days. Some lawsuits have been filed. There's been a couple of settlements. Can you kind of give us just the thumbnail sketch of kind of what's been happening, what the result is right now, and what you see the industry moving forward over that?
Sure. And just for some context, today is a Monday, and it was Friday that NAR announced that they had settled on or have a proposed settlement for a few of the lawsuits. But what has been in play for us, at least for the last 5 years, and I don't think a lot of people realize how long this has been going on, are class action lawsuits against NAR and several industry players, large, really franchisors, all having to do with what we call the cooperative compensation rule in the multiple listing service. Our MLS is owned by a realtor association. We have to follow rules that are promulgated by the National Association of Realtors. And this is a rule that all MLSs have had to have in place. And it's premised on the fact that if you have a listing, when you put the listing in, you say what you're going to pay a cooperating broker who brings a buyer for your listing. And it has been in place in the MLS pretty much since we got rid of straight dual agency. In the past, they used to just, the listing agent, there was no buyer agency. The agent for the buyer was just a sub-agent of the seller. So buyer agency came about as a real consumer protection. And I would say our real estate commission has been light years ahead of others, as well as South Carolina, in that they saw that there was value in having buyer agency for consumers. So unlike a lot of other states that are scrambling right now because of Friday's announcement, North and South Carolina have mandatory buyer agency agreements. So we already have in place what our members have been using. There will be some changes. We will be prepared for them. It is going to be an opportunity for our members to really explain their value and why they get paid and, you know, what they get paid, but also why they get paid. So I think we're looking at this as an opportunity. We know there's going to have to be some changes in the forms. There might have to be some changes within the MLS. We're still processing everything that we're reading from Friday. But I think we're in a pretty good position and will be to meet some of the deadlines that are required, but more to come in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Thank you for that quick synopsis for folks that haven't been following that. You mentioned your time at Rebic. I've been at Rebic for a couple of years myself. I do have an opportunity to attend a lot of the Canopy and HBA and all of our member organization meetings. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between Rebic and Canopy and kind of how that came about and where it is now and where you see that going into the future?
Yeah, I'd love to. I love talking about Rebic.
Good.
And it kind of goes back to, you know, meeting Mr. Tate and Mr. Croslin years ago, now over 24 years ago, almost 30. And, you know, they were very different men, very different. And they might have been friends. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know they respected each other. And what they saw was the importance of realtors and the home builders working together and how effective or more effective, I should say, it was if realtors and home builders worked lockstep. So for years, you know, and even to this day, home builders are always concerned about impact fees and realtors are concerned about transfer taxes. And together, the realtors and the home builders have been able to fight against both of those. And in other areas of the country where realtors and home builders don't get along, you know, realtors sell out the home builders and the home builders sell out the realtors. And it's just not the way it is in, I would say, North Carolina in general, but mm-hmm. it really kind of started with Ribbick here in Charlotte. And so when it comes right down to it, what Mr. Tate and Mr. Coslin also realized was that there's more in common than not. And when you look at what is currently on Ribbick's agenda right now, like for affordable housing, everybody should care about affordable housing. Everybody should care that regulations are not hurting developers and builders from creating more affordable product, because that also affects inventory. So when you look at the legislative agenda for Ribbick, which I'm going to step back again and say, Ribbick essentially functions as the government affairs department for Canopy. Mm-hmm. So we don't have our own in-house government affairs director. We have a whole separate 501c6 that operates as our government affairs department. We're very fortunate. And because of that, we have the strength of not just the home builders and the realtors, but we also have the commercial realtors and the commercial developers and the apartment association mm-hmm. that together united, we make a pretty strong impact at the local level and the regional level. And we really are impacting and looking at it from an economic development standpoint too. So I also feel like Ribbick's relationship right now with like the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance mm-hmm. is stronger than it's ever been
sure.
because we have that in common with them. If we're going to bring jobs to this region, those jobs have to live somewhere. And right. realtors and the home builders and commercial folks all see that and need to work together and do work together. So Ribbick is very important. It's really important that our members understand that and support it.
And what do you think that we can do to continue that education to say Canopy members? Like what are the best ways of getting them engaged in what we do? And we've got a newsletter, we have this podcast, we have some other opportunities as well, visits, things like that. Can you give any advice to Ribbick to help reach out, and then as well as Canopy members to say, hey, here's how you can plug in?
Well, I think a lot of people think, I don't like politics, I really don't want to get involved. Mm-hmm. But when it comes right down to it, it is actually a responsibility for I would say realtors to be involved in politics, whether they like it or not.
That's right.
At least to be aware. Number one thing, register to vote.
Yeah.
If they are interested in politics, sign up for the Government Affairs Committee. Not everybody gets on. However, we do have a pool of volunteers that we utilize for other efforts. And I think one of the things that I think is important that Ribbick does is also help realtors get appointed to different county or city governing bodies like the Stormwater mm-hmm. or Planning Commission.
Yeah, the advisory boards. Yeah.
That is really important to have a realtor voice or voices on those groups representing what would be the impact, to their clients if they were to be impacted by any kind of regulation coming out of those advisory boards or commissions. So I know Ribbick's been very good at coordinating those appointments, and that's really helpful too. But mm-hmm. I do encourage members to look at what Ribbick is putting out in the 2 for 2 every Tuesday. Quick read. Just skim it. Something's of interest to you, link on that for more detail. Mm-hmm. But again, we're fortunate because the other thing that Ribbick does for us as part of its government affairs role is they run our government affairs committee and they coordinate visits to the North Carolina General Assembly. Mm-hmm. And that has been something where we've taken volunteers to Raleigh to express our opinions about different legislation that will help or hinder the real estate industry in general, not just realtors. So there's lots of ways to get involved, but I'm preaching that at a minimum, realtors should register to vote and get their clients to register to vote.
Excellent. Those are excellent messages. I'd also add that this year in June, when we do visit Raleigh, we're going to have both the home builders and the realtors at the same time together. So my hope is that we'll march in lockstep talking about attainable and affordable housing, and that will be your message.
As it should be.
Absolutely. So one last thing before we wrap. value of a realtor moving forward. Do you have any final message you want to articulate in terms of that and that impact on buying a house? I'll give you my personal example. When I moved here 13 years ago, I'm somebody that's been in the industry up or down for 20 years or so. But I had a realtor, and I would have not gone through that process without a realtor. I ended up finding the house myself, but going through the process of the inspections and all that kind of stuff, I couldn't have done that myself. And I consider myself a little bit more of a, understanding kind of how that works. So talk about the value of a realtor and what that means going forward.
Well, I couldn't have asked for a better question. I'm serious. I'm really excited because the lawsuits, the settlement, everything about what brought those about are really highlighting the importance of our members, realtors, expressing and explaining their value to their clients. And tomorrow we're going to be announcing our member value campaign. We've done one for years, but this year we're really focused on really kind of a tailored campaign to the consumer to explain the value a realtor brings, whether they are a listing agent or a buyer agent or either one. And we have a list of 241 things.
Wow.
That consumers may not realize that our members do for them or could do for them. They don't necessarily do all 240. And certainly you can break it up by, well, if they're a listing agent, they're going to do certain things that a buyer agent wouldn't do. But there's a lot they do in common. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's been a reluctance on our members' part to share that information with their clients. And they just kind of do it behind the scenes and get it done. But because of that, there's also been that lack of understanding of why they get paid what they get paid. So we're opening that up, and we're saying, you know, whether you're buying existing homes or new construction, based on how complicated it is, and this being the biggest purchase for most people of Absolutely. Their entire life, mm-hmm. how important it is to make sure you have somebody protecting you and your interests. So even if you're super smart and you could do it on your own, time is money.
Right.
So there is tremendous value in using that a realtor, and the campaign that we're going to be putting out in the public will help explain that, and hopefully it'll help our members explain it to their clients.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Anne-Marie DeCazzi, CEO of the Canopy Realtor Association. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for listening to Getting Real with Rob. We'd love to have you share this podcast with others and become a regular listener. Getting Real with Rob is produced by the Real Estate and Building Industry Coalition, or REBIC. To find out more, visit our website at rebic.com. That's REBIC.com. Have a comment, question, or suggestion for a guest? Connect with us on Instagram at REBIC Charlotte. And join us next time for Getting Real with Rob.